I thought I would share a few ideas from that I've heard in the last few days and gathered from some of the leading Rabbanim. I think that to have the proper Torah approach to this type of event, one has to be a Bar Hochi, somebody who's very knowledgeable and very grounded. So I've been gathering from what other leading Rabbanim have said. I live in Ramat Beit Shemesh, and the Rav of our shul is Rav Chaim Linowitz Shlita. Among other things, he's the general editor of the Art School Gemara series. So I'll be using what he said as a base, and including ideas from other people as well. Number one. At this time, a person has to work on his emunah. Hashem has a plan for the world. The world is not chaos. This is always true. A person always has to think about this and always has to believe this. But now, it's even more important. When a person is challenged and something seems to not make any sense, we have to go back to the basics and work on our emunah and recognize Hashem has a plan. We don't understand it necessarily, but we have to believe this. This is our emunah. Rav Reuben Shlita, the Rav of the Shul, where the murders took place, spoke, and he emphasized the same point. A Jew has to build on his emunah. He told an incredible story. He said when he was in Yeshiva Ktana, the equivalent of high school, Rav Shach Zatzal came to visit and speak at his Yeshiva Ktana. Rav Shach was one of the leading Gedolei Hador, a giant in learning and lumdus. And everyone's waiting for Rav Shach to speak. He gets up and he starts, Bereshis Bara Elokim, Es HaShemayim V'Es HaAretz. And he went through Bereshis, what happened on the first day, the second day. And he spoke about Emunah. And he told the boys, life starts with Emunah. Hashem created the world. Hashem has a plan. Hashem gave us a mission. Hashem is the Borei Olam. And we have to focus on that. And Rabbi Reuben said, when he was younger, he said, why is he doing this? Of all the things they talk about, this Gaon Adir is talking about, I learned Bereishis in third grade. Yet, Rav Shach understood, a person needs constant reinforcement of his emunah. And that's what he chose to do with the boys in high school. What seems to be happening doesn't make sense. It's hard for us to understand. So there's a very, very famous mashal. It's mentioned in various svarim. And this is the mashal that you have to always remember at times like this. And the mashal is, look at any picture in the room you're in now. You're in a room, there's a nice picture on the wall. Go up to the picture and stand with your nose basically touching the picture. Mamish, 1 inch away, a quarter inch away from the picture. And you're looking at the picture. If someone says, what do you see? So we did this in yeshiva. So we have a beautiful picture of the Beis HaMikdash with the writing of the Parsha HaKetoros in the middle. So a boy was looking at the picture. He said, I see blurry lines. Good, blurry lines. Take a 1 inch step back, go back 1 inch. What do you see now? So now he said, I see writing. Nothing beautiful. If I would say to you, you know, that writing you see is worth $500, $1,000. He said, what are you talking about? But then take another step back and stand 6 inches away. Oh, now you see the whole picture and it's a beautiful picture. When you see one tiny little piece of the picture, it doesn't look so beautiful. It looks blurry. It looks worthless. You don't understand. Why would someone pay $10,000 for this painting? There's nothing here. That's because we have a very, very narrow perspective. That's the mashal. The nimshal is that Hashem has a plan. It's a plan for the entire history of the world. And somehow it all fits. We see this tiny little sliver. We see this tiny little sliver. We see it happened 3 days ago. Even after a day, 3 days, a month, a year. In the big picture of world history, it's a tiny blip. So we don't understand. We don't see how it all fits, but it does fit all together. From our perspective, it's one tiny little piece, but our emunah is, it fits. When you see the whole picture, it fits. And this is the Torah Hashkafa. This is the Torah Hashkafa. Oh, it's, everything's Hashkafa. This week's Mishpacha magazine has an article about Rav Shimon Badani Shlita. He's one of the leading Sephardi Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael. And his grandson was murdered in an earlier attack. And Mishpacha magazine has an article describing his reaction. I'll be reading from it here a few times. So during the week of Shiva, for his grandson, he said as follows. Hashem is a source of absolute good. Nothing bad can come from him. We are small, and our field of vision is limited, so we can't really understand what is good for us and what isn't. Often we realize after the fact that there was good concealed in the things we thought were bad. But even more often, we never recognize it. Our neshamot are here in this world for only a brief period of time, and we have no way of truly knowing what is happening in the upper spheres. It hurts, yes. It is painful, but it is all good. This is the Torah Hashkafa, and as challenging as it is, we have to believe this, we have to mechazek ourselves. Hashem has a plan, and the world is not chaos, and we have to work on our emunah. Okay. That's number one. A second point is to have an understanding of the enemy. Rav Reuben Shlita quoted a famous idea. I think it's said in the name of the Chafetz Chaim regarding who Yishmael is. In the Torah, when Avram receives the Nevuah about the birth of Yishmael, Yishmael is referred to as a Pera Adam, a wild person. So the Chafetz Chaim points out that there's a problem with the grammar here. In Hebrew, normally, you mention the noun followed by the adjective. If you want to say someone's a good person, you don't say Tov Adam, you say Adam Tov. Adam, that's the essential. And then the adjective comes after it. Adam Tov. Somebody's healthy. Adam Bari. You don't say Bari Adam. Adam Bari. Why here Para Adam? So the Torah is teaching us that Yishmael, in their very essence, who are they? They're Para. They're wild. Wild animals. Para. With some human-like qualities. So Adam is the adjective of Para. It's not Adam Para. It's not a wild person. It's a Para Adam. It's a wild animal with some human-like qualities. We have to recognize this, and we have to be aware of their reality. What we can do about it, that reality. So we know, Lev Melachim Biyad Hashem, the leaders, the hearts of the leaders are in Hashem's hands. We have to daven that Hashem will put in the leaders, in the hearts of the leaders, the proper approach to how to deal with the Para Adam. Rav Malinowitz quoted the following idea from a philosopher, from a famous writer. You can ignore reality, but you can't ignore the consequences of ignoring reality. It's a very, very precise sentence. We have to be aware of what the reality is. And given that that's the reality, there's a certain response that's called for. We don't have the ability to provide that response. We have to believe it, and we should daven. Hashem, put it into the hearts of our leaders, the various political leaders, to respond in the proper way. It's a war. It's a war against the Pera Adam. Recently, Rav Amos Lubin Shlita gave a very, very powerful, sicha about this topic. It's available on the Nativ Aryeh website. And he discusses this idea and the whole aspect of Yishmael as well. That's point number two, understanding the enemy, understanding what we're involved in. Number three, lessons that we can take for ourselves. So Rav Linowitz mentioned two ideas in the from the Chovos HaLevavos, Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh. Number one, and this is powerful and frightening, important. The Chovos HaLevavos talks about a person has to realize that lo aleinu, a person can die anytime. Anytime. People die. People die in the morning, in the afternoon, at night. And a person has to make sure he's ready. That a person should be murdered in the middle of davening. It's about the most unexpected thing anyone could have thought of until 3 days ago. A one in a quadrillion. It's impossible to have even imagined that in the world that we live in. And yet it happened. So the Chovos HaLevavos is basically restating a Chazal. Chazal say, do tshuva today, maybe a person, Shema Yamus L'machar. Person might die tomorrow. Person has to recognize that death can happen at any time, and he has to respond accordingly. It's a very sobering message, but an appropriate one to think about at this time. A second point, the Chovos HaLevavos says, is almost the opposite angle, or the flip side. The Hakaras HaTov that we have to have, that we're alive. Person has to thank Hashem that I'm alive. There were people in the room, in the base medrash, in the base Knesset, who mamish in this way or that way with derech mazel, derech hashkacha, the murderers missed them or looked the other way or did something else. There were some people who normally daven at that minyan but didn't go that one day. It happened on a Tuesday. There was a person who always davens there, except for Tuesday. Because Tuesday, he it's his turn to help with one of the kids making the lunches. That's the way the schedule works in the house. Person has to have a karas atov, that he's alive. If a person's healthy, and he's aware that he knows someone else who's not healthy. Thank Hashem that your body functions normally. So this is something else we have to focus on, the Hakaras HaTov, that we're alive, and obviously that Hakaras HaTov and that acknowledgement that our life comes from Hashem directly all the time, every second, should motivate us and should move us to serve Him better. Rav Avigdor Miller Zatzal says a very deep idea, that if a person hears lo aleinu that someone else is very sick, or in this situation, is murdered, and then a person thanks Hashem, thank you Hashem that I'm alive, I have a karas atov, that, and because of that karas atov, the person moves forward in his avodas Hashem, then that becomes a schus for the other person, because through the other person, you've moved forward. It's a very, very deep idea. It's good for you and it's good for them. That this Hakaras HaTov becomes a schus. Thank Hashem that you're alive. And if a person is inspired to do that because of this, because of what happened, then that itself becomes a schus for the Kedoshim. Oh. Now, what should our response be? So number one, as I just mentioned, obviously, the Hakaras HaTov and the recognition that a person, and to absorb the message and internalize the message, that a person, mamash, lo aleinu, can die tomorrow, should lead to a more careful life, more dikduk mitzvos. If a person really, really lived that way, it would change everything. So everyone has to internalize these two ideas from the Chovos HaLevavos, and take the next the obvious step, more tiktuk b'mitzvos. Be more careful. Each person in his own way. If there's ever a time that a person is supposed to make a cheshbon nefesh, now is the time. A person should always make cheshbon nefesh at appropriate intervals, but especially now. Now is the time. That's number one. Number two, obviously, is tefillah. Now is a very important time to focus even more on our tefillah. If we believe the first point, the emunah, the world's not chaos, and Hashem has a plan. So, what can we do that helps? How did Hashem build the system? That tefillah and the ruchnius impact of tefillah and mitzvos is what has an influence on how the plan is played out. I'm originally from Silver Spring, Maryland, and the rub of the shul there now is Rabbi David Rosenbaum Shlita, fabulous rav, a serious Talmud Chacham. He sent out a letter to the congregation, and he said as follows: "We have such heavy hearts. If only we could do something to help the widows, the orphans, the friends, the neighbors, the students of those who passed away today, not to mention those who were seriously injured. We then remind ourselves this is not the first tragedy in Israel in the past weeks. So many others have suffered. What can we do? What can we do? We can pray. If we truly believe that Hashem runs the world, we must recognize that our prayers are powerful and can change the world. Let us pray for the safety of all of our brothers and sisters in harm's way, be it Israel, Europe, or anywhere else. Let us pray that Hashem gives wisdom to the Israeli government and security forces in their efforts and brings success to their hands. Let us pray that Hashem helps all those whose lives have been tragically altered by despicable acts to somehow succeed and flourish as they move on. Let us pray for the recovery of those that are injured, and let us pray that the ultimate Hashem bring the ultimate redemption speedily in our days, so that we should never have another day like this. We must feel the pain of our others in Klal Yisrael at this moment. We must also believe in our ability to help." Very beautiful letter and very powerful ideas. Tefillah. The primary focus is tefillah for the cholim, and beyond that, the tefillah and as well as a tefillah for the chizuk, for the almanos and the yesomim. Tefillah, that's a second point. A third point, Rav Malinowitz mentioned the idea based on the Ramban. And it's also a similar idea is found in the Moron of Uchim. This is a deep idea, and it's an important one to think about always, but especially now. So we believe in Hashgacha Pratis. Hashem has direct Hashgacha on the world. The Ramban and others developed the notion that the level of Hashgacha of Hashem is more intense, more powerful, more direct, more intimate, corresponding to how the person lives his own life. If a person lives with Hashem, Hashem, kaviyachol, more, lives with him. A person wants to merit more hashgacha, then focus on Hashem. Think about Hashem. Live Shivis Hashem Venegdi Samid. Go through life with Hashem in your life. A person who lives with that closest to Hashem is Zoche, almost in a natural Mida Keneged Mida way, with a more direct Hashgacha. It's almost like you can hire Hashem Kaviyachal as your personal Shomer. He's your Shomer. If you live with Hashem, Hashem's with you. So now's the time to really internalize the first thing we mentioned, the Amunah, there's no chaos, Hashem runs the world, and live with Hashem and go through life focusing on the recognition that Hashem exists and Hashem governs the world. The Kasha is these four Kedoshim who were murdered were tremendous, great tzaddikim. Each one in his own way. I'm sending a letter as well, a very powerful letter that was written by one of the neighbors in Har Nof. It's a very important, powerful letter to read. So they were great. So the answer is, that gets back to the original Mashal. We don't understand everything. This Yesod of the Ramban is Emes. The Mor Nevuchim says it also. This is the Yesod. And sometimes things happen we don't understand. And they're beyond. That doesn't change the fact that the Yesod is Emes. This is point number three. To live with this sense of Hashgacha on our side. To be Zoche to a greater Shmira as well. A fourth response is to learn from the Kedoshim. You hear the Hespedim, they're so powerful. I attended the Levaya of Moshe Tversky Zatzal, Hashem Yikom Damo. The stories they told about him were almost just like a malach. The dedication and to his learning and to his students and to his family. It was really very powerful, like a hidden complete tzaddik, just hidden also. So a fourth thing is to learn something and be inspired from the way the Kedoshim lived their lives. We wouldn't have known about this, but now that we know it, because they were private people, but now that we learned about it, let's be inspired. The letter I sent out includes some ideas about the other Kedoshim as well. I'll just mention one idea that struck me. Said Rav Tversky was totally engrossed in his learning. His Amelus Batorah. So one of his kids said that it was not uncommon. He'd be sitting at the table eating, having the Suda. And then during the Suda, he'd get up and go to the Beis Medrash in his house to his study. Why? If a kasha began to bother him, a line in a Rashba that didn't fit well, or a Rashi, he didn't push it off right away. He says, one second, there's a Rashba bothering me now. I have to deal with it now. And during the Suda, he'd leave and then he'd come back when he felt that he had figured it out. It's an amazing mita. If a kasha on a Rashba comes up, if a question on Rashi comes up, deal with it now. Don't wait. Don't wait till the suit is over. This is a certain madrega. I think for most of us, it's not the way we live to leave the meal in the middle of the meal. But we can take that mida and apply it in our own lives. Rav Orlovich Shlita always says, Kedoshim stories are like a compass. They point you in the direction. A compass points to the North Pole. Who goes to the North Pole? No one goes to the North Pole. So what's the point of a compass? It points you, it shows you the direction to be going in, to head north. That's where north is. You're not going to go to the North Pole, but that's where north is. So I think most people, they're not on the Madrega to leave the Suda, in the middle of the Suda, to go look up a Sefer. But what we can take for ourselves is, don't push the good things off. A person makes a decision to take a step forward in Avodas Hashem. Start today. I'm going to start Amud Yomi. I'm going to start learning a Perek of Nach a day. I'm going to start on Sunday when my schedule, you know, resets after Shabbos. No, start today. The Yetzer Hara loves it when people wait. He loves it. The Chafetz Chaim has this in the Sefer Avos Chesed, that the Yetzer Hara always says, come back tomorrow. So one thing we can take for ourselves is, as a direct schus that we can learn from the Kedoshim and change our own lives. A person should focus on, if you have a chance to start something good, start today. Don't wait till tomorrow. You wait till tomorrow, then it doesn't fit, then you wait till after Shabbos, and then it doesn't happen, and then it doesn't happen. I think that can be a fourth response, something specific we can take from Rav Moshe Tversky. Hashem Yimkom Demo. Again, all of the four that were murdered were tzaddikim, each one in his own way, and the accompanying letter can gives a piece of a small piece of insight into each one of them. And finally, before closing, like I mentioned, it's Hashkocha that Mishpacha magazine had this whole article on Rav Shimon Badani. I just want to read a few things that they have here. The title of the article is Pain Fused with Faith. So Rav Badani spoke at the Levaya of his grandson, who was murdered in an earlier attack. His grandson, Sholem Aaron Badani. Hashem Yimkom Damo. This is the fourth grandson whose funeral I am attending. But Ribono Shel Olam, it's all good. We have no questions. It hurts. It's painful. But it is all good. But it is also good. We simply cannot see the whole picture. During the Shiva, Shimon spoke some more. What is there for me to add? The Mishnah says in Brachot, a person must say a blessing over evil, just as he says a blessing over good. For the Torah says, with all your soul, even if he takes your soul. The Mishnah says, Kishem Shemavarachan Arachachavarachan Alatov. Somebody asked, how does a person live the Gemara? Rav Badani sighs, you tell yourself that everything Hashem does is for the best. This is a halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. It says that a person is chayav to do this. It's not just a virtue, it's an obligation. My grandson was so precious, such a Talmud Chacham, and now he is gone. But we thank Hashem for everything, even the things that we do not understand. We thank Hashem for everything, even the things we do not understand. This is what the approach has to be. It's very difficult. So the answer is the mushel of the picture. You see, we have a very, very tiny sliver. Very tiny sliver of seeing the whole picture. So all of us should, Bezus Hashem, try to live these ideas, strengthen our emuna. Think about this mashal, about the picture. Think about the cheshbon nefesh that one should have at a time like this. Focus on the responses. Make a change in our lives. The Hakaras HaTov, the sobering cheshbon nefesh of the Chovos HaLevavos, should inspire us to make a change. Be more careful. Number two, our tefillah. Number three, our focus on living with Hashem. And then Hashem can be our personal shomer, in a sense. Number four, to learn from the Kedoshim. And should affect our lives. And if we, Bez Hashem, if we do these things, it can all add up to additional, and as Rabbi Victor Miller said, this all can add up to an additional zechus for the Kedoshim who were murdered. Some ideas that were gathered from some other leading Rabbanim. Okay, we'll stop here.